Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am Alex and I am joined by Luke Caramali.
Hello.
Christopher Tillytops.
Hello. Sorry, I was just reading my email that I've got.
I'm trying to turn your surnames into sweets.
Okay.
And
yeah, Tillytots sounds good.
Tillytots.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be there.
Caramali and...
Go for it.
Daniel.
Go for it, come on. What's your best? What have you got?
Daniel Krupa, I'll come back to you on that. Can anybody think of a sweet that kind of...
Super duper Krupa...
Oh, that well known.
Party pooper. Croup drops? I don't know.
Nobody's going to eat a croup drop.
Nobody's going to eat a croup drop.
Anyway.
Hula croups.
Hula. Yes. More of a crisp.
Yeah. But,
come on.
It's quite good though.
Come on.
He's working with limited hula goods. Crisp.
Okay. For now, that will be perfect. Thank you, Chris, for rescuing me on my pathetic intro.
No problem.
On this week's podcast, we will, of course, address the news. We'll be talking about all the stuff that came out of Apple's keynote.
Big stuff.
Yeah. But first, Destiny is out this week. I've certainly played a little bit of it. You chaps went along to the launch event.
Yeah.
How was that?
Launch event was quite good. So it was at the Oxo Tower in London.
Yeah.
It was quite nice.
Yeah.
Really? There were some celebs there. Celebs.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor is a big girl,
right?
She watched me playing playing Destiny and being very bad at it.
I think she was really good at Halo, so it makes sense that she's there.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor, yeah. Big fan. Yeah. She's very pale in real life as well.
Yeah, and quite a round face. But in a nice way.
I said to you guys, her husband's a big Indiana Jones fan.
Her husband was there.
Who's your husband again?
He's in The Feeling.
Yeah.
No one actually knows who he is.
I was going around on Monday night telling people that he was in Top Loader.
Oh yeah, no.
I really thought he was in Top Loader.
I thought he was in Blur.
No, her husband's in Top Loader.
I thought he was in Blur. Yeah.
What?
Somebody in Top Loader is married to someone quite
famous. He was married to Dan Hipgrove was married to Gail
Porter. Yes. That's it. There you go.
I know
pop culture.
Indie.
You know your indie marriages to
brown 90s. Who was it? Professor Green. Professor.
Yep. Connor Maynard.
Not Green. Connor
Maynard. Oh, it's because he used to sell the drugs.
Who?
That's which one.
These are weak celebrities, if you ask me.
Connor Maynard.
Luke Marley.
Any professional footballers?
There was apparently, but I wouldn't know.
Apparently Ashley Young, but I didn't see him. I didn't
Supposedly
see him.
Supposedly Danny Kerr, who's apparently a rugby player.
Yep.
And somebody who's a boxer. Who won an Olympic medal?
This is.
I'm looking at you, thinking you might know.
Yeah. Roger Harrison, he's locked up at the minute.
Yeah, no, you did hear about Destiny. I love it.
Yeah,
I know. We get those emails going. You're just
off top of the
media types. Not at all. I'm just there for the little free mini burgers.
Well, yeah. I didn't go.
They were belting.
They were very nice. It was very nice food, but no, it was fun. I left it. There was a countdown clock counting down to midnight when the servers went live. So it was a bit crap that I left.
Surely
at 10.
They were live when Australia came online.
Oh no, because they clicked live in each country at midnight.
I don't believe that.
Well, you couldn't play it until midnight.
I know, I couldn't because I didn't have a copy of it.
There you go.
Still can't play it. I've got strict NAT settings.
Well, I did start playing it briefly yesterday, and then I got bumped because the servers are too busy, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah. I have to say, though, impressive. I thought, like, as a launch, it was very smooth. I didn't really have any issues.
The world didn't melt.
No,
I couldn't get online. I'd say that's not great.
I suppose there were
apart from
mutterings.
That, it was hitch-free.
Play the game.
But compared to all these MMOs that launch and there's so many issues and they're down for days, Diablo 3 being
play the game. Yeah, but ultimately, surely that's the worst thing.
Listen, I could play it on launch day without any issues. That never happens with games like this. So I think they did a very good launch.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah. You don't play games like that, Alex, and you want the world.
No, I just want to play the game that I've just got. That's all. So I played it for about an hour. I managed to set up my character. It got really confused and just went for a really boring-looking human.
What did you pick? What class? Titan.
Hunter.
Oh, we've all got hunters. We're all hunter.
Could be the worst team ever.
Because I read that Titans are really, really slow, and I couldn't be bothered with that.
Titans are basically tanks. They're meant to draw the enemy fire, so you...
Right.
Well, you kind of like, come on.
No, the thing I like about the Hunter is that I've got a decent machine gun type weapon and my sniper rifle, and that to me is a
sniper
good combination.
So you went for just a boring man. Did you give him a nice haircut?
I know this sounds really pathetic. I tried to make it look a bit like me.
No.
Why not?
Because I thought, my life's a bit boring. I'd quite like to live in space for a bit, so that's what I'm going to go and do.
I went for a robot.
Did you?
You went for the robot one.
I went for a robot, but I kept him on brand. I made him black and red. Nice. He's got loads of like red face war paint on. He looks brilliant. I thought it'd be a big space robot.
Yeah. I went for a green alien guy who looks a bit like you. He has your kind of hair.
A green alien that looks a bit like
you. With the same hair. Only his eyes are yellow. So there's that.
I've got contact.
There you go.
So first impressions, combat solid, looks beautiful. A few people have said that it's very repetitive, like you come back to the same spots, and maybe it's more of an MMO trait, is that the way that the enemy spawn feels quite repetitive at times.
Yeah.
That's not my criticism, because I haven't played it enough, and I'm looking forward to playing it.
We're going to play it all week, aren't we? We're going to play it together as well.
So I'm level 4 at the moment, so I'm not firing at all, but it's just, there's little things. So the tower, which is the area, you know, you go to, like, social area. Chris is loving this.
Now he's just writing down
around towns, and they give you access to a map or directions. You talk to them. I found myself, because I didn't find the tutorial was that, you know, aspects of crafting and aspects of, like, identifying the gear, you know, like when you get rarer gear as you go along, you have to identify it first at the tower before you can wear it. And stuff like that.
I haven't done any of that yet.
Yeah, so. See, this is the thing. Okay. It's just
you
stuff I
read. If you find it very intuitive.
Well, because, see, my first stumbling block, it sounds very similar, but some of the Borderlands stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand how Borderlands worked when I first played that, realizing that, you know, it's all level-based.
And the loot
and I was
stuff,
doing level 10 missions when I was at level 6 and all that kind of stuff. So
just steaming in.
Okay,
next time!
But the idea of, like, staying in the same level and so I could get to level 10 was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
but then you kind of get used to it.
Isn't this thing? It's a bit. There's
the daily grind. I'm not used to that.
There's bits already that I have found a bit grindy.
Where are you working, Agent?
Hey. Yeah.
So is it living up to the hype?
Too early to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be pretty spectacular to do that.
Mm. Yeah,
but certainly so far,
solid.
I like the world. You know, for me, it's all about the combat mechanics, and they're sharp. It feels, you know, satisfying when you shoot someone.
I mean, my one thing so far is just the amount of content I don't know, because at level 4 I've already unlocked the moon, and so there's Venus and Mars to go to as well. Then that's all the places, and like all MMOs, loads of people say, you know, the game only begins when you hit max level. So it's what happens when you're not having that number tick up anymore, like where you're getting the better gear, how you're doing that, how are you still advancing your character. I mean, bear in mind, I haven't done the Crucible yet. I haven't done the PvP stuff, like, you know, the multiplayer. Yep.
No,
so that, and that's, you know, we see communities thrive on that alone all the time. So that could be enough. And but from a PvP,
and if you're playing Destiny, there's an IGN clan for people to join. That'd be good.
That's a lot.
We've done all right.
That's a hell of a fire team.
So. Yeah. Have it.
There you go.
Let's take on GameSpot.
Yeah.
Should we create a duck hunt sub team?
I think somebody will do that for us. Won't you, duck hunters?
Yeah, you go.
Look at that.
Playing to them. I remember the group. You're not.
Should I be?
Invade them. Create a fake account, like I said, it was going to be hard. Yes. Catfish them. 219 of the accounts are Bearfark. They're like all the guys in the group are going, oh, there's a lot of girls in here. All rich. All rich.
Are there actually some pictures of his 219 girls talking about magic? It's weird.
He does magic. He never mentions that.
Not on the podcast.
No.
Anyway, let's tackle this week's news. Yeah. Yesterday, Apple announced another phone.
Yes.
And a what?
iPhone
Thies.
So I was in the pub, and I've actually not read up on it, so I don't know anything.
Chris,
do you want to give me a quick rundown?
Here we go.
Actually, I'm going to give you,
because I do want to know, because I'm going to get one. I think
two phones.
Are you?
Two phones. Oh,
sorry,
don't spoil
I've
it.
Got my news here. Go on, right. Then. Oh, it's done. So we all knew they were going to announce the new iPhone, the mm-hmm. iPhone 6, mm-hmm. And rumoured that it would be in multiple sizes. So there's two iPhone 6s. There's an iPhone 6, which is bigger than the current iPhone 5. It's got a screen of 4.7 inches.
As opposed to 4 inches.
There's a Plus, an iPhone Plus, which is a screen of 5.0.
I saw a picture of it. I can't remember where I saw it. It's pretty much the same size as 3DS XL.
Oh, that's good.
Also, put it into gaming.
Full 1080p.
The pluses, yes.
Which we know iGen does really care about.
What's this?
Is it 60 frames per second?
There you go.
The Plus is 1080p.
The Plus is 1080p.
The screen.
Okay.
Which is main, you know, it's what they care about.
Cool. Well, that comes on to my next bit. The screen.
1080p.
Yes, a good.
Both of them 1080p,
which even the IGN cameras can't do.
240 frames per second. That's amazing.
It also does time lapse. It lasts for a full 5 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's always better for the free.
And then sometimes, and also,
I've never done that.
You shouldn't fully charge it if you plug it in, because actually, when a lot of people fear that it's still pumping in juice, when it will stop charging when it reaches 100%. But if you're not iPhone, if you
exciting.
Save it for the cutout. Yeah. Okay.
My bigger thing is, how long is the battery actually going to last in what I would deem fair usage?
Yeah.
That's
really hard to tell as well, because some people absolutely cane their iPhone with 4G, and that's obviously not a fair use. Like, that's exceptional circumstances.
But that's what it's designed to do.
Yeah. But all, like, science can't support all day browsing at, like, it won't get battery life. Your battery life will deplete if you're caning 4G all day.
I'm not saying streaming, though, but, like, so my work phone, which I use at the minute, just an iPhone 5, 4G, just downloads my emails, and that battery is gone by the time I get home.
Yeah, but if that's push notification, that means your phone's checking constantly.
Yep.
So that's basically it hitting 4G all
day
long.
That's what I want it to do.
Okay.
Build a better battery, even if it's four times as big.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So those are both pre-orderable from Friday, and they're out on September 19th. And then the second thing they announced in the
Details on carriers yet. I've signed up to a few just to sort of see.
Vodafone has them.
Oh, Vodafone stuff.
Vodafone does have them, because I got an email from their press officer yesterday.
Well, how much are they?
Vodafone UK.
They're expensive. Like, they've only got prices. Most of the prices that are out there are for the handsets only.
Yeah.
And they range between, I think it's about 540, is it, to about 700.
So the UK, the iPhone 6 starts at 539 for 16 gigs. The iPhone 6 Plus starts at 619.
But, you know.
It's money.
Yeah, but there's a lot of I don't actually mind that price. It's the price that doesn't put me off at all, because most people are going to buy it with a contract.
Mm.
And iPads are that expensive, and people don't go, that's ridiculously expensive.
I just don't see the upgrade for me, like, just what I use my phone for, which is...
Well, don't upgrade then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. I won't. Good. Thanks. Good.
Okay, and then they unveil something else, which we'll get on later in the show.
Yes. We'll be coming back to that one. So yes, the other piece of news is the PlayStation 4 has sold over 1 million units in the UK. And
sold through or shipped to retail?
To consumers, apparently.
Okay.
And that figure happened on the day of Destiny's launch. So you imagine the new bundle, or people who kind of held off buying decided, I'm going to go get one.
I wonder how much, because presumably a lot of people pre-ordered the white bundle.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they include those figures.
Yeah, I assume they do. Yeah, and I also assume a lot of people just kind of waited, because I know that there was a normal colour bundle as well. Mm. But so it managed it in 42 weeks after launching, which makes it the second fastest console to hit that that number. The first was the Wii, which did it in 38 weeks. So there you go. But yeah, apparently, so Fergal Garra, who is the UK MD of Sony, told one of our rival sites that... PS3 consumers came a lot, but
PS3
consumers came across, but they did see a big uptick in terms of Xbox 360 and also Wii U owners who came across, and they didn't give any figures for that. But the last we did here in the first quarter of this year, the PS4 was outselling the Xbox One 3-1. So we go. So don't know how that affected the overall figure. It was at 10 million last we heard for PS4, wasn't it? At Gamescom. So I think that's pretty cool. And I think, as I say, I think Destiny was was a big seller. And elsewhere I've seen flirting around, they are very much treating Destiny like it's a first party game. So I think that's probably going to be their major Christmas push, really.
Well, all the advertising is obviously PlayStation branded, so.
Yeah, except for that fragrance.
Well,
for Microsoft.
Yes.
More news, but not quite so good. Batman Arkham Knight has slipped for a second time. He needs to get some boots that have got a bit of a better sole.
With grip.
Yes. I stumbled my joke then. Damn it.
That was a joke, was it?
You stumbled. You could have done with those boots.
I could have done. It was coming out in spring next year. It's gone back to June. So
that's not long. That's not a big difference.
No, it's not.
But it was originally meant to be October.
Yeah, it was due to come out next month.
So what's going on, Alex?
Well, maybe the game's not ready. Yep. I think it's probably a case of that. So it's Rocksteady's first leap into next generation. I saw it at E3, and I also saw it at Gamescom. It looks very nice indeed.
Game set Halloween.
Ooh.
I'm sure they were going to release it on or around Halloween originally.
But I think, you know, June's a weird time to launch a game of that size and scale. Because traditionally, nothing comes out. Well, I think it's the 2nd of June it's penciled in for.
Yeah.
So that'll probably be just before E3 next year. So that's quite surprising. I don't know. I wonder if that'll impact sales.
I've never really got this, because you have summer blockbusters. You have summer blockbusters for films.
Yeah.
The argument being people will go to the cinema. But you don't have summer games.
That's because I guess the difference is you're out. You're out in the summer. You're out in town. You go catch a film. Whereas a game that inquires staying in all day.
I'm just interested to see if anyone's
got hours. Yeah. But also, you've got your summer holidays, I think, which is when I did most of my gaming when I was
age. With remote... Yeah, exactly. And with remote play, just sit in the garden with it on your Vita, if the connection's
strong. Maybe that's why they've done it.
There you go. I'd just be interested to see if you're going to transform. The better
business decision is if there's less competition.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I'd just be interested to see if anyone's tried it before and it Red Dead all Redemption. Went horribly wrong.
See, a lot of games have come out in May. Metal Gear 4 came out in May as well. But I think it's that June, you know, nothing ever comes out in July. I think that's even worse.
Mm.
But June, it's a 16 plus, so kids will be at school. Presumably. Anyway, the sweetener is that you get, if you spend £170, that's quite a lot of money.
Wowza.
You get a Batmobile statue, which I think looks pretty cool.
And can we just add, it's fully transformable. Now, what does that mean?
Is it?
It's fully transformable.
Oh, it does say that, fully transformable.
Now, because
I don't know if...
But maybe the doors, but...
So in the game itself, you switch from, I can't remember what the modes are, but you... Driving mode and tank mode. Basically, the wheels enable you to kind of strafe. So it might be that, but I don't know how it'll do that.
Well, yeah, because the press release that I got was quite... It just literally was like, fully transformable.
It must be that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do Batpod or anything like that. Mm.
But still,
I have a suspicion that at some point in the game, it'll turn into a boat or a plane. Possibly a boat, more so because... Plane is an entirely different thing, different set of mechanics. But in the Gotham City ISO, it looks like there could be spillways.
Right.
But
Other stuff you get. An 80-page art book, a limited edition comic book from DC, skin pack with 3 unique skins. But still, that whole £170, that is a lot of money.
Buying a Batmobile model on its own and buying the game on its own might be...
Well, you could buy the Lego Tumbler.
How much is that?
That's £169.
I thought it was cheaper than that.
No, it's not. £169.
Oh,
no.
Too expensive.
No. Oh, no.
It's check it if you want. But
I am.
Check it.
Good.
Afterwards.
But it's expensive. But, you know, the game will be worth it. And I think, so while a lot of people might just associate summer with not buying games, the flip side is it will be out there on its own. And I think it will sell well because of that.
Yeah. Intriguing.
Yeah. Have you checked it?
It's loading.
Okay.
I have a bit of film, not really news, more kind of speculation, but I thought it was an interesting story. Bill Murray's been doing the Bill Murray Show all around Toronto at the festival. He's been showing up places. They had Bill Murray Day. He's been doing his usual shtick. And he's been asked about this rumoured female Ghostbusters that's supposed to be happening with Paul Feig, who directed Bridesmaids.
Right.
There's talk that he'll direct it and it'll be females in it. And he was asked about it and Bill Murray said, I'm fine with it. I'd go to that movie. And he says who he'd like to see in it.
Okay.
Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
I could get on board with that.
Is she the one that's in Bridesmaids?
Yeah,
she is.
Yeah.
Funny woman.
Yeah.
Mm. Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Also good.
Woman in Bridesmaids.
You're pretty much in Bridesmaids, are
you? Sticking to what he knows. That's good.
Linda Cardellini. Oh, Cardellini. So she was in Freaks and Geeks. You ever see Freaks and Geeks?
No.
She's also, have you watched the last series of Mad Men?
No.
Or the last but one?
I wouldn't go through her entire roles. No, those are two
things.
Not seen
those are the two things I think of. Okay. But she's cool. She's likable.
She's in ER as well.
She was in
she's
ER.
She's
Velma in Scooby-Doo.
Right, okay. That's the one I've seen her in of all of them. Cool.
And his final choice, Emma Stone.
Right. That's an interesting choice.
She's funny though, and I guess they did Zombieland together. They actually did Ghostbusting together in Zombieland.
I think Emma Stone's a good choice because she can do smart as well.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the original Ghostbusters, they're all, you know, parapsychologists, scientists, inventors, engineers. Like, they're all PhDs.
Yeah.
So you need someone who can pull that off. Like, Egon... You need this one. Like, if you're gonna recast it, you need someone. Yeah, you need a serious guy. You need Ray. There's a certain balance in chemistry there.
Yeah.
That's. It all feels like there's a lot of comedy going on there.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit too much.
Mm. Who's the straight?
My suggestion would be because I've just gotten into Veep. I would say Julia Louise Dreyfus, because she's kind of straight funny. She often plays the kind of straight person who they all kind of undermine.
Mm-hmm.
So I quite like the idea of her.
Bullock. Sandra Bullock.
Bullock's also a good chap.
Who doesn't like Bullock?
True.
Everyone loves a bit of Bullock.
Everyone loves a bit of Bullock.
That's a bit. I know that.
Bullock and Weaver.
Do you want to, something interesting that only dawned on me the other day? I was thinking about Ghostbusters on the tube because it's the 30th anniversary.
It is.
And
while
undoubtedly they do a lot of busting, the two big antagonists aren't ghosts in either of the movies. Like, one's an interdimensional being, and the other one's a 16th century Carpathian sorcerer who's inhabiting a painting.
That was a weird...
It wasn't a very good film, I don't think.
No, and they don't like it. Also, something amazing that I read the other day, that you know the cartoon that ran from, I think, 85 to 91, The Real Ghostbusters? Do you know why it's called The Real Ghostbusters? There's two kind of interconnected reasons. Firstly, is to distinguish it from an existing cartoon called The Ghostbusters.
Oh, right.
Nothing to do with The Ghostbusters. Uh-huh.
Right.
Secondly, it became a kind of meta-fictional device. The guy who wrote The Real Ghostbusters was Michael Straczynski, who wrote Babylon 5 and Amazing Spider-Man in the 90s. He posited that... Right, brace yourself. This mind's going to go... Pah! The Ghostbusters cartoon... And this is why the characters, the cartoons, don't look like Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, even though it's made afterwards, is the Ghostbusters in the cartoon. Those are the real life Ghostbusters. And the film is an adaptation of their lives. And there's an episode where they attend the premiere of Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
And the Winston character in the cartoon, played by Arsenio Hall, says... Murray, Aykroyd and Ramis sound like a bunch of lawyers to me.
Oh, I'm going to go watch that straight after this.
That's quite exciting.
So this is and if you watch that cartoon, you learn a lot more about the day-to-day, the kind of the lore of the contraption, because they're basically incarcerating ghosts.
Yeah.
And Slimer, who kind of helps them, he has like quibbles around what they're actually doing, because some of them aren't particularly harmful ghosts.
Right.
Anyway.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
I also like the idea of Lizzie Kaplan, maybe.
Yeah, like her.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Oh.
I'm open to the possibility, but I think probably not. I'm not a complete skeptic.
Could we get a Brit in it?
Who?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know that. Yes.
I thought you might have
a recommendation.
I was thinking, because you know I'm a fan, Zoe Ashton.
Oh, yes, from Fresh Meat.
For everything,
I think she'd be a good Ghostbuster.
I'd like
tough.
Her.
Yes. Yeah. You wouldn't mess with her.
Also, I quite like the one who plays Oregon in Fresh Meat.
I can't
remember her name, but she's quite good.
Julie Waters.
Ooh. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Is that her agent?
There you go.
I'm a flat. I'm on call.
Must be magic.
It just happens.
What about Jennifer Lawrence? Don't you think every film's better if Jennifer Lawrence is in it?
No, I think we've had too much Jennifer Lawrence of late. I've
seen a lot of her lately.
Nasty.
No, I don't mean she's in every film. He doesn't.
I didn't.
He means what you think he means.
Fine. Well, let's
know. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Well, no, I'm definitely not going to say what I was going to. It involved being slimed, but let's not talk about it.
Oh, you said it.
Let's move on.
It was originally called Onion Head.
Slimer?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh.
On the set, and they refer to it as the spirit of John Belushi.
Oh. Chaos.
Yeah. Last piece of news. Oh no, that was your last piece of news.
Yeah, I did that. I changed.
You switched out.
I did.
Last
I did give you a heads up.
You did. I know, but I
didn't cross it out.
I had other images in my head. Let's move on to the talking point. So yes, in addition to the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus being announced yesterday, Apple announced the Apple Watch, not the iWatch. Why did they drop the i? I wonder.
I imagine it must be trademarked by someone else. It's like what they did. They didn't call it ITV.
They should do.
Apple Television.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Oh, ITV, because ITV. I have ITV. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry.
Has everyone listening got... They should have, there you go.
They should have totally called their internet device eyebrows.
Just get it. Stop it.
Do you get it?
That'd be amazing. Anyway, the Apple Watch. So I think it's kind of split the office into two camps. Believers and non-believers, I guess.
Well, I don't... Say out right up top, I think I'm going to play devil's advocate. Like, I don't think it's the second coming or anything like that, but I'm naturally going to adopt a more pro, open-minded stance.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
That's who you are.
Are you saying that I've got a closed mind on this?
You just said anyone who buys one is an idiot.
Yeah, especially Bearpark.
To explain what happened this morning, it came up in our morning meeting, and Alex and Rich almost got in an argument about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty.
It's because, I am a fan of Apple products.
Putting it lightly.
I don't believe in, you know, the whole kind of culty thing. The way that people go nuts over their stuff is, I don't really understand. But I like their products and they work well. That's why I buy them. But the problem with the Apple Watch is that I don't get it. It's as simple as that. I don't see the point when I've got a phone that does everything that does.
Yeah, on that issue, I would say... I'm not saying it's going to be a great success. Like, people always think, oh, Apple, like, when are they going to fall down? They've had loads of flop products. They've had loads of flop. I looked some up last night. There's like the Power Mac G4 Cube, which they released, which was absolute flop. Yeah. iPod Hi-Fi was only in production for like 16 months. Ping. Remember Ping?
No.
Oh my God, Ping was like kind of a build into the...
iTunes.
It was like a social network thing.
Yeah, it was basically like Facebook for iTunes.
To show you what you bought.
And it just kind of died on its ice. But what I would say with a new product, even though there's been other kind of digital watches that have integration with Android, it's a kind of new type of device. So you can't really accurately predict how it's going to go as a device because it's a new thing. It's a new entity. Tablets were new. So I remember when tablets first came out, people were like, well, I've got a laptop. I've got a phone. Why do I need this third device? And then it created a new market all unto itself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the iWatch is doing that, but why it's tricky maybe to get a finger hold on it is because it's a new type of device.
Yeah. The wearable health sector, I think, sounds quite interesting. But I was watching a lot of stuff on it last night, and a lot of the proponents for that were saying, like, oh, well, you know, people who wear these kind of things on average are like 20% healthier. Than it's like, yeah, because people who are 20% healthier than other people tend to want to care more about their health, so buy these things. You know, it's like it's a false kind of reading of it, of the situation. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea, but
that's just one of the applications. You could get it and use it, never even use the health application.
But
that's
what
just
would you
one
use
of
it
things.
For, then?
It is. I would position it like a lot of people on my Twitter feed last night were kind of incensed that it requires an iPhone.
Yeah.
People were like, "You need an iPhone to use it." It's like, well, of course you need an iPhone to use it. That's the same for all the Android watches.
Yeah.
You need a partner device. It is a symbiotic device. It's an accessory for your iPhone that kind of extends the experience in certain ways.
Yeah. A very expensive accessory.
Yeah, but people buy £300-400 headphones. People buy Beats for a lot of money.
Yep.
So I think Apple would look at it. They're not saying you have to buy an iPhone 6 to buy one. If you've got an iPhone 5, it'll work with that. People buy expensive accessories for their iPhones. It's kind of $350.
The big alarm...
Probably entry level.
Of course.
The alarm bell that I kind of had ringing was there was no mention of battery life, right?
Yeah, it was an all-day charge. It'll be an all-day charge.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. The mere fact by omission, the fact that they didn't say, like, it'll last for up to, or it'll do this.
Yeah, so it's not coming out until next year.
I'm sure they can, but that is just... The fact they didn't mention it just sets alarm bells.
Again, it depends on usage. But the thing is, it'll... probably have decent battery life, watch this space, by virtue of the fact that it's paired with your iPhone. Effectively, it's a dummy terminal, a dummy screen for your iPhone. Yeah. So the iPhone's doing all the processing and internet connection in your pocket. So it'll drain, that stuff will drain your iPhone battery. Whereas this is just taking a feed, small bits of data to a screen.
Well, then in that case, my iPhone's going to die on its arse every day. Like, my iPhone 5.
No, because the data used to do the things that you do on your phone will actually be quite minimal. It'll be like providing directions, which isn't a lot of data. It's not streaming video to your wrist. It'll be like basic push notifications.
Yeah. But my phone does all that.
Yeah, so it is. So some uses, for instance, if you're, I don't know, if you want to walk and get directions, you can put in directions to Oxford Tube from here.
Yeah.
And you can say on your phone, send to watch, put your phone back into your pocket, and you can have the directions of the map on your watch.
That's quite useful.
Even if it's covered, it's got a kind of like a rumble pack in it that feels like someone tapping you on the wrist.
Yeah.
And you'll get different taps depending if you come to an intersection, you turn left or right.
Right, okay.
What?
So it just feels like a funny thing.
But 5 years ago, would it have felt...
What's three taps? Is that left? Is that right?
Oh, God, I can't remember. Okay.
I know, I'm being cynic.
But it feels... But 5 years ago, if you said you would have been walking around with your phone and doing a figure of eight to recalibrate a fucking... Oh,
I know. I feel compass. Like an absolute idiot when I do that. Yeah. So please don't make me do that.
But it's one of those things that might not be used. But you could.
Yeah.
But also calendar invites. My phone goes off all the time, and you go, "Oh, it's calendar invite for this." That would seem more logical just to look at glance at your wrist,
like an alarm.
So, okay, I get that.
Okay.
Do you normally wear a watch? You don't.
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Do you?
I wear a watch.
Well, I was going to say the aesthetics of it isn't something else we need to discuss, right?
So, the reason I like my watch is because it is now 20 years old. And it still works as perfectly now as the day I bought it. And the problem with this piece of tech is, and it is a piece of tech, you will probably end up upgrading it every kind of two years or so.
But I would argue that the watch comparison is almost a false comparison. It is sitting in the place where a watch traditionally stood, and that is one feature it has. It's not really a watch, let's face it. It's imitating a watch. It is.
But on the flip side, I understand all these little things, and I do think they're little things, that it may do is it makes I don't find having to get my phone out and say, oh, there's the direction, I'm going that way, I don't find that hard. I don't feel the need to go and buy something for that much money to let it tap on my wrist
and to clarify, say, go left. Nor am I. Yeah. I'm just saying it is an accessory to this thing, and I'm trying to like make the case of why it is a thing and why it might be successful and might find an audience.
I think that's the thing. It's no one's arguing it's necessary or we need it, like in the same way no one was arguing Connect was necessary.
But I do think
some people enjoy the functionality it adds.
It's a hard sell to people who aren't so involved in tech to make them understand why they should buy it. Because I know you say it's not just a watch, but it's called the Apple Watch.
No, I get that.
And I'm going to be interested to see how they market it next year.
And it's the same, like they call it an iPad, because it's like a pad of paper, but it's not. It's taking something that is old, that's analog, that people have used for hundreds of years, and turning it into a piece of modern technology that has a multitude of applications. It's like a remote control for your iPhone in some ways.
Yeah.
It's extending the experience in a way that's so always visible. It's like a second screen almost in some ways, and a remote control.
Yeah. So, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as popular as obviously the iPhone or the iPad has been. That's my gut. But that's maybe because I just don't understand it. But if I don't understand it, then I think a lot of people just go,
and you're a bit of an evangelist, aren't you?
I am. I would say I probably am, yeah.
Yeah. Be interesting because... They've got a huge install base.
Yeah.
Price points will be an interesting issue, whether it is priced, prices itself out. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. In terms of aesthetically, I think it just looks a little bit like, okay, it looks okay. It doesn't look fantastic. It doesn't look bad. But I think for the same money, and I know I keep drawing it back to watches, you can buy a really nice looking watch that will increase in value over time for the same price.
Yeah, I think that's at least the things it is as a watch. Yeah.
Don't call it a watch then.
How does it price itself?
Yeah, but that tells you the people everything they need, how they use it.
Call it the wrist computer Mark 1. That's far better.
Do great guns.
How does it compare price wise to other smartwatches? Because I haven't looked at that. I have to be honest.
I believe it's on the slightly more expensive side, but
it will be. Also, the thing is, like, you buy the face and the timepiece, and you can like customize
the straps, right?
And the straps will be really expensive. Like some of them, like, are like Italian leather, sourced, like, and all this sort of stuff,
brushed stainless steel, all that kind of stuff. Which, but, you know, I think it's good because they're trying to appeal to a high end.
Yeah, but that's it. If you want more, that's why. If you want to turn it into a dress watch, but you also want to jog in it, you can swatch it out for a band that
will. They've got like a sweat absorbing one.
Yeah,
but that's, you know. I know I can keep harping on the back. It's $350 entry level. You're probably looking at, I don't know, at least £250. At least £250.
Yeah, I would thought that's so. £300, I would suspect.
For me, a lot of money. There was something else that we were talking about the other day, and I can't remember if it was with you guys, about someone like Samsung had released a new app that basically allows you to take everything off your Apple phone and transfer it across, because a lot of people who have kind of fallen out of love with Apple devices and want to change are like, oh, it's got all my apps, it's got all my data, it's got all that, you know, the ball ache of getting rid of that. So Samsung have sorted that by releasing a thing. I mean, from Apple's perspective, great, it's another thing that then shackles you to their brand, because if you've got an Apple Watch, are you going to change your phone provider, or are you just going to be like, oh, well, then I can't use this, this becomes useless. So surely, but then from a consumer standpoint, you know, I'm not going to want an Apple Watch because it makes me get into bed with Apple even further, and I've been losing faith in them for several years. So, you know, that's just...
Why are you losing faith in them?
For me, I haven't seen... You know, there used to be much greater improvements along the way, and now it...
But have you attached to a new brand that is constantly innovating?
No, not at all. But I'm looking for something new. And that might just be because, you know, I'm bored and I want to change. That, it doesn't necessarily mean Apple's done anything wrong, but it just means, you know, I already feel resentful about the fact that I have, you know, about chargers, adapters, you know, certain things, certain stereos that have built-in things like that, that all kind of shackle me to an Apple device. I'm now at the stage where I think I've kind of reached saturation point, and I'm not willing to invest more in Apple-curated devices that only work with Apple things, because it's just like, you know, if I ever do want to change, I have to kind of redo my whole entertainment.
But it's that's going to be the same with whatever you go for. If you pick an Android thing,
I
don't think the grass is going to be any greener on the other side.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
The
battery might be longer.
Maybe.
But that's just, I think that's something that's worth considering, just because it is another.
But, you know, because we were talking about in the pub last night that you were thinking about switching to, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And my thing was like, when you get a new phone, iPhone, you plug it in, it transfers everything over, it's easy. And so if Samsung is doing that, then great, you know, I'm all for kind of options for...
And it gets to the stage, like, you know, when they release new versions of Apple Watches and they slowly phase out the older iPhones, you're going to have to get a new phone and a new watch at the same time and so on, you know.
It's easy, like, I think it's... Apple, you know, there's one argument that says always attack the big boy.
Yep.
If you're market dominant, you'll always get critiqued. I feel like, again, not being Apple fanboy, but just putting an alternate viewpoint across, I feel like Apple always attract this, because Luke's saying that the two dominant, all of this sort of stuff, he's locked into this ecosphere. For a long time, the biggest criticism of Apple was like, not compatible with anything. They can't win.
Yeah, too niche.
Too niche, not compatible, can't do that. And now it's like, everything's Apple. It's like, well, do you... I don't know, obviously there's virtues being part of an ecosystem, but also there's loads of other companies that are kind of system agnostic. Like if you've got a Sonos stereo system, you use that equally well with Android and Apple.
Look, ultimately, litmus test, are you going to buy it?
Probably not launch, but I would consider it.
Because that's the other thing. I would
definitely consider it.
I think, you know, same with the iPhone. The first iPhone wasn't great.
I bought an iPod Photo, for crying out loud.
Right.
Looking at my
phone.
Looking at my phone. Well, no, it's just I wanted an iPod. It's my first iPod, okay, and that was the new iPod. But basically, you're looking at your pictures in 240p. That was nice experience.
Well, that's like, even trying to watch. I remember, like, you know,
the video iPod
when you could watch videos on it. It's just like
iPod socks. Ridiculous. Remember them?
Ooh. I've still got that.
Yes.
The fat iPod Nano.
So, version one, no.
Possibly. I like being an early adopter.
I said yes or no.
And you can fall in its arse and then it's a collector's arse.
Yes or no?
Yeah, I'll get one. All right, why not? Right. Why not?
I won't, because I don't get it.
No.
Chris?
No.
There you go.
I like to wait and see, though.
Yeah, I haven't ruled it out long term, but...
What you said.
So, listeners, it'd be good to see what you think on the Apple Watch feedback, as always, to IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. And don't forget, you all get a free copy of the new U2 album for free as well. That's exciting, isn't it?
Good.
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 The feedback. You've got the first piece of feedback.
Yes. First piece is from Levon, and this kind of ties in with cell phones and all this sort of stuff. He says cell phone, so I assume Levon's from America. How long can the sky-high price of cell phones be tolerated when devices like new 3DS are one-third of the price and include everything but a cell phone transmitter? I just want a black and white e-ink phone or watch with a week-long battery life and a secondary device like 3DS or iPad that can handle all my gaming and internet needs in a much more dedicated and sophisticated manner. I currently leave my phone in my pocket and do everything with my iPod Touch. So he's rocking a iPod Touch and iPhone system.
Yeah, but that's, you've seen, like, I've got two iPhones, an iPod Touch, an iPad, and a MacBook. That's what I carry around with me.
And you can't understand why. You can't see why a phone and a watch is too much. I'm saying two things. So you're carrying around a little mini Apple store.
There is an absolute reason for that. iPad, watching films. Yeah. MacBook, work. Two iPhones, one personal, one not. But when I upgrade to an iPhone 6 and get a bigger storage, I'll bin the Touch. It's only because I don't have enough storage on my current iPhone for music. That's the only reason why I've got that as well. Although it does feel exactly like an iPhone 6. It looks nice.
Okay.
I forgot what the question was after all.
How long can the sky-high prices be tolerated?
Can cell phones continue to increase in price?
They
when
do a
other
lot
device...
more than the 3DS.
Yes, I
and
think
the
so.
Technology that's in it is way more sophisticated in terms of screen definition.
Because you could, at a push, do bits of work on a phone if needs be. You can access Google Docs, all this sort of stuff. Yeah.
A lot of people do like, I've been to shows like Gamescom where people have done their writing on a iPad. But it's just the whole kind of, you know, you can't manipulate images as easily as you can on a Mac and all that kind of stuff.
So my argument was going to be, presumably, because you don't need to make such a profit up front because there's the attach rate with games, right? You get, the more software you sell, the more money comes in later anyway. But Nintendo never sell, until the Wii U, Nintendo had never sold a console for a loss. So maybe that's not necessarily true. But maybe they're just not as interested in profit up front because they're like, sell it at pretty much cost to, and then we know we'll recoup more profit further down the line. Mm.
Well, you know, even like the quality of the build and stuff like that, that's, you know, it's, the 3DS is a toy, essentially. The iPhone's not. Although a lot of kids do have them.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, I hope that's answered your question, Levon.
Daryl Sharp writes in saying, wondering what your thoughts are on a 2014 release for GTA 5 on the PS4 and the Xbox One. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Was that it?
Yeah. No, also, like, by vote, like, should he be interested in it?
It depends whether he's played it or not. Like, so, I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast already. I've obviously played through the single player. I haven't really touched multiplayer. If there is new stuff in the single player, I will absolutely go back and play GTA all again on next gen, because the thing for me was not so much the mission structure or anything like that. It was just the world itself looked gorgeous on last gen. It'll look amazing on current gen. So I will play again. But we don't know. Rockstar have said nothing.
I don't know. I mean, there's been mutterings about it slipping to next year. There's been loads of rumours that are so woolly. But I think it's quite Rockstar not to really say much about it until it's coming out. Well, right?
It's very close, though. Like, you know, we're coming up to midway through September. We've not seen that game at all outside of the trailers that have come around.
No, we haven't actually seen any hands-on or anything, have we?
You know, we're, what, a maximum of kind of 2 months away from launch, potentially.
There's a huge variety of rumours on this, though, about, like, PS4 and Xbox One are fine, but the PC's been delayed, which doesn't make sense to me, because surely it's the same architecture.
I would have thought that there was, it's being developed on PC and then ported across,
Yeah, so, presumably. I don't know. I'm hopeful for a Christmas release still, but there have been rumours, but
I think it will come out.
Cool. So Sebastian Lofgren, I think is how you pronounce it, said, just listened to your latest podcast and heard the stuff about remote play, and I think you guys managed to upset him. He said, you talk as if Sony tablets are something different than an Android tablet, which isn't the case. Sony as a manufacturer uses the Android operating system for their tablets and phones, and is actually one of the few hardware manufacturers that doesn't put a lot of bloat on it from the start. Regarding remote play, I for one am selling my old but still very functional tablet due to this news only. I live with my girlfriend, and the main living room screen /TV is often occupied, which makes this a lovely feature. Not only can I play the PS4 when my girlfriend's watching one of the shows that both of us don't enjoy, But when she has to get up early the next day or have you, he can play it like in bed, apparently. So thinks it's a good selling point. I don't know. Basically, the English goes a bit wrong here. But so I do think it's a pretty good selling point for tablets and phones. So it's to do with the remote play.
Yeah.
Coming to the, is it the Z3?
You wrote the story.
Yeah, it's either the Z3 or the X3, but I can't.
Z, not Z.
Am I not American?
No.
Okay. So the Z3.
So I'm assuming that you guys criticised it in last week's podcast.
Yeah, I think to clarify, we kind of, the point I was making was, while I do think it is a selling point for Sony on their phones and tablets, i.e. they can trade on it,
yep.
I don't think it's going to pull in people who are interested elsewhere. I don't think it's going to lead to a conversion.
No.
I think it's a nice selling point. It's a great thing to shout about, but I don't think it's going to...
No. Well, you know, for me, it's all about, you know, we were talking earlier about having systems that are as open as possible.
Mm.
That really should be an app that you have on every single Android device rather than Sony specific. You know, if I was PlayStation, I'd be thinking about the bigger game here, the long game. If you want to sell consoles or whatever it might be, you'd want that functionality on everything, and maybe it will come to everything further down the line, but yeah, I think it's nice, but I agree with you, I don't think it's going to necessarily sell those handsets.
Yeah, I don't know if it's enough. I wouldn't buy a phone based on that ability. Yeah, especially if you already have
would you buy a watch?
No, I wouldn't buy a watch.
Right, let's not go there.
Do you want some more feedback from Daryl Sharp?
Oh, yes. Daryl, prolific.
That makes him friend of the show.
Two in one show. Daryl wants to know our thoughts on the proposed return of the Terminator movies. He says that we still don't know anything about the plot of Terminator Genesis, but we do know the franchise is coming back with an absolutely stacked cast. He mentions Arnold Schwarzenegger, Emilia Clarke, Jay Courtney, I don't like him, Jason Clarke, who's really good, and Matt Smith. Matt Smith's in it.
Hmm.
So what are your thoughts?
Well, Terminator Salvation sounded really good on paper.
It did. and that Jai really Courtney reminds me of Sam Worthington. They're just a bit like,
yeah. Yeah. If you're going by spelling, this doesn't look good on paper.
Yeah, that's the real problem. You know about the spelling?
No.
Oh my word.
What's it?
So they announced the title the other day.
Yeah, Alice needs to see it,
I think. In that first sentence. That's how they're spelling it.
So presumably they are system.
Of course.
Sister.
But still.
It's awful.
There you go.
I am indifferent, really. I can't get excited about a new Terminator film.
No.
I feel like they made two great movies.
The first two are great.
Yeah.
Number three, I have seen, but the only thing I can remember is him. Well, no, it was the coffin. Exactly.
With the Gatling gun.
The third one's okay. Salvation was not.
I didn't even get to the end of Salvation.
It was boring.
Which for a Terminator movie is crazy. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly you can go off a franchise.
Was that ruined in the trailer? Was it a spoiler in the trailer?
What?
Salvation. Did he not reveal the thing about Worthington in the trailer?
I can't remember.
Anyway.
Now.
I feel there was a kerfuffle to do with the trailer, but I can't remember what it was about.
There you go.
Good.
My contribution? So I think the general gist is we're not all that excited.
No.
Which is a shame.
We'll go see it, but... Yeah. Whatevs. The Thor, the Dark World guy's directing it as well.
Right.
Whatever.
Well, there was rumours Dark World was taken away from him in the edit.
Yeah, yeah. The Game of Thrones dude, isn't
Drama.
He?
Drama, Alan Taylor.
We will see.
Okay.
Thanks for the email. Is that it? Have we got more?
One more from Andrew.
Is it from
Australia?
Shop? No,
that's not three more. He's not that good. This is Andrew from Australia. He says, I was curious to hear your thoughts on the possibility of one of the heroes in the next Avengers movie dying.
Gasp.
Dying, Alex.
Wouldn't happen.
I can see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's his face died and then he came back?
Who? Well,
that's the point, isn't it? Superheroes always come
back.
Yeah,
but he's not a superhero.
Who are you on about?
I can't remember.
Agent Coulson.
Thank
Coulson.
You.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but he already signed a contract. I can see.
Coulson's alive.
But also, you know, the length Coulson they lives. Went to explain that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I get it.
It's a very comic book thing, but. Still, it could still happen then. So that's almost more reason for it happening because you could still bring them back. Downey Jr. could die. It would make thematic sense based on what we think the story might be about.
Yeah.
And he almost, you know, he showed that he, you know, he's suffered with post-traumatic stress. He has a suicide impulse in him.
Mm.
If he thinks that he's responsible for this threat again, I could see himself killing himself in kind of a sacrificial moment.
There's been lots of comments.
He's not signed up for Iron Man 4, did he?
No, he rubbished the idea of it happening.
Yeah. There's been lots of comments flying around, haven't there, about... Even, like, I swear quite a few Marvel people have said, oh, the beauty of the Avengers is that it's a team that people can move in and out of.
Yeah, it's just the Avengers. Like, the team has changed, like...
So many times.
It's the name of a team. It's not beholden to any characters.
Yeah,
but... So I'm not up on my Marvel lore. Does Iron Man have to be Tony Stark, or is there somebody else?
There's been other people
who
have inhabited the suit at different points. Like, it's a Batman. It's a symbol. Yeah. It is a suit. It's one of the heroes that people can. But ultimately, is Tony Stark, because his intelligence is a power.
Right.
Because he is even though there's no like gift or anything, he is superhumanly intelligent.
Right. Mm.
Like
I associate myself with that. Yeah.
Kill Hawkeye. Job done.
Wasn't he meant to have a spin-off? Is that not
He'll never have a spin-off. He was supposed to appear in Captain America, but it got vetoed. There's a very cool deleted scene that was going to be in Captain America Winter Soldier, where Captain America and Hawkeye have a fight. It actually sounds really cool, the storyboarding for it, but it never happened. Hawkeye comics really good by Matt Fraction, My Life as a Weapon.
Right.
That shows Hawkeye being an actual badass, kind of like Arrow. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He is really cool. He's like, a cool character.
The idea of it sounds rubbish. Like, he's really good.
And also,
the
like,
arrow,
Jeremy Renner is really good in some films.
Mm. Just because you look like
no,
Renner.
No, he is, though. He is, though. And he's great in The Hurt Locker and stuff.
In Hurt Locker.
And yeah. 28 weeks later, he's really good. Hawkeye gets pretty crap service in that movie. Yeah. He's just, like, brainwashed for
kill
all
him.
Of it. Yeah.
Kill him.
He's got nice blue eyes.
Just kill him. But if you killed him, it would mean nothing.
Yeah, exactly. There's no stakes, though, are there?
Yeah.
Oh well,
kill him off screen.
Yeah. What? Hawkeye. Where's Hawkeye?
He's dead.
He trips on his arrow.
Yeah.
Hawkeye is a great bit in the Hawkeye comic where he fires multiple arrows.
Robin Hood? He did that ages ago.
Yeah. Get your own stick.
Sorry.
Great.
Right. Let's talk about the games and movies out this week. Let's go films first, shall we?
Why not?
Some biggies coming out.
I'm leaving one off, by the way. So, Box Trolls.
Oh, I thought that's the one you can leave off. The fact that that's on there.
Box Trolls.
Has that not been out for a while?
No, I didn't even know it was out this week, actually.
Because I thought it was... I took my daughter to go and see a film last week. And
it was Box Trolls.
Well, no, it wasn't. Because otherwise, obviously, yes, it was out last week. And I thought it was. Anyway.
We haven't reviewed it, and I haven't seen it.
Reviews but are out.
I don't know why we haven't reviewed it.
We've got some Happy Meal toys at home.
It's the people who made Paranorman, and we liked Paranorman, didn't we, Dan?
I like Paranorman.
Yeah, Paranorman was good. So, no reason to think it's not good. I hate it's quite weird and dark.
Right.
Like a little bit scary for little kids.
Mm. Mm.
But I'll check it out, but maybe not in the cinema.
No.
And A Most Wanted Man is out, which we have reviewed on the site.
Right.
It's one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movies.
Mm.
It's a John le Carré adaptation, so you pretty much know what you're going to get. I believe he plays a German spy. And we gave it an 8.2 and really liked it. So if you like slow-burning thrillers, I guess check that out.
Go see that.
Or if you like Box Trolls.
I don't even know what a box troll is.
Exactly.
Mm.
No.
Go and find out.
There you go.
And that's this week's movies. Guardians of the Galaxy again.
Destiny. We've spoken a lot about that in the beginning of the podcast. I'm sure most people who are listening to this are probably either playing it or looking to play it further down the line. Certainly the jury is out for us. I understand what you're trying to do, Daniel.
Been helpful.
But our review should be going up. Well, it's a review in progress. It's been going live for a few days now, hopefully by the end of this week, if not over the weekend. Also out DLC for Infamous First Light.
Standalone expansion.
Yep. So I've still not played Infamous 2. Oh no, sorry, Infamous.
Second Son.
Yeah.
So
did you finish it?
Yeah.
I
thought good, but once I finished going through one like path, no desire to go back.
I thought it was a pretty average game, to be honest. I thought it looked really nice. So you play as Fetch, who is one of the characters that appears in the game. She gives you neon powers.
And it kind of seems like you'll have fewer powers.
You will have her power throughout the game, but it's a much shorter game.
What are her powers?
And neon powers, so she can run up walls. She can run really fast, like the Flash.
Right.
She can fire neon blasts.
Really
like
pretty,
that.
But I don't think it's...
Yeah.
Right.
Which is really weird, because at the end of the core game, spoilers, you get a new power, which you never really get to explore unless you go back and 100% the game.
Right.
So you get a power right at the end of the game that you never play as. So it would make sense more to make that the power for the expansion and let you have a full experience centered on that power. But
I guess it was easier for them to just...
That is a bit weird, giving you something to...
Right at the end. Well, I guess the intention is you will play this game.
A lot of people do that, but I'm never a kind of New Game Plus person, really.
Well, you wouldn't get it in New Game Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. because you would start from scratch, wouldn't you? It's basically just going around finishing the world. Cause it opens world game.
It doesn't carry over if you start a new game once you've
clocked it. No, because it's like a thematic thing. You get it from an enemy.
All right.
It's kind of like
it's a plot point.
That is a bit weird. Okay. Also, the latest incarnation of NHL.
NHL.
Which is hockey's.
Which has got 7.0. Good.
Hockey's and good. Sticks and ice. Mm.
NHL. Fun. NHL. That's not how Colin sounds. NHL is fun to play and pretty to look at, but it's disappointingly light on modes to keep you hooked on hockey.
How many modes do you need in a hockey game?
Fighting.
Ring.
Surely it's just like hockey with sticks. Fighting.
Yeah.
I don't know. There you go. So if you're going to play one game, obviously Destiny.
Yeah.
And then, what was that Most Wanted?
I don't know. Up to you. See Box Trolls or Most Wanted Man.
Or do what you want.
Much of a
Most Wanted Box Troll.
You want.
Go see Guardians again. Before we go, I know people have been waiting to see what sweet I came up for with Dan's name.
Yeah. Yes.
Here we go.
It's variations on the same theme. It's two for one you're getting here. Krupa Choops or Chupa Croops.
Is that supposed to be a bit like Chupa Chups?
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite rhyme.
No, it's how you say it. So which one do you like best?
I didn't know what you were going for. I thought you were saying like tube of, like a tube of Smarties.
Chew it's like croupits? No.
Okay, it wasn't worth the wait. I'm sorry.
Well, look, I still liked it.
You tried.
Oh, bless. Tilly Tots is nice.
Tilly Tots.
he's off his Tilly Tots.
That's it for this week's podcast. We will be back same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And see you later. Bye.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.